All right, Chabosai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf Chaf. We are picking up on Yotes Amud Beis 19b, and we're picking up with the Gemara. So Lememra, remember again, we were introduced yesterday to the concept of, well, already on Beis Amud Aleph, we were introduced to the concept of Shavuos. So yesterday's daf, the Mishnah, we're further clarifying this idea. So remember again, the Gemara says, Lememra, the Sha'ochel Dachil Mamashma. Is that to say that the Lashon of Sha'ochel, when a person says Shavuos Sha'ochel, a Shavuos that I will eat, that, or I should say, Shavuos Sha'ochel means a Shavuos that I will eat. Is that true? So the Gemara says, Ramidi, well, ask a Kasha, Shavuos Lo Ochel Lecha, Shavuos Sha'ochel Lecha, Lo Shavuos Shalo Ochel Lecha, Aser. It was said, the Brice explains that all of these Lashonos, all of these expressions, are expressions ultimately again that I will not eat. So a shvua that I will not eat for you, a shvua that I will eat for sha'ocha lecha, eat for you, lo shvua shalo ocha lecha, not a shvua that I won't eat for you. All of these are expressions of iser, which I will say, interestingly enough, seems to indicate to us that a shvua sha'ocha lecha, a shvua that I will eat for you, is a lashon, is an expression that I will not eat. So we're going to clarify that in just a moment. But for our purposes, it contradicts the Mishnah. The Mishnah seems to indicate that a shvua sha'ochel, a shvua that I will eat, is a positive shvua that I will do something. The Braisa indicates to us that a shvua sha'ochel seems to be a shvua that I will not eat. So which one is it? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, the olam, the achil namashma. Abaye says that in reality, shvua sha'ochel, a shvua that I will eat, means that I will eat. It is a shvua to do something positive. Hi, what about the Braisa? Lo kasha, kan be misarvin bo lechol, kan be she'in misarvin bo lechol. Top of Chaf Amud Aleph for both sides. So interestingly enough, like most things in life, what you say can be interpreted by the through the context in which it is stated. So we'll say ultimately again, one is talking about a case where his friends are pressuring him to eat. One is talking about a case where his friends aren't pressuring him to eat. Tap of Chaf Amud Aleph. Masnisin b'shein misarim ba'olechol. The Mishnah is talking about a case, ultimately, again, where no one is pressuring him to eat. Therefore, again, when he says, Shavua sha'ocha lecha, that Shavua means that literally, I will eat something. B'raisa b'misarim ba'olechol. The Brice is a case where they are ultimately pressuring him to eat, in which case, again, Shavua sha'ocha lecha is interpreted as a Shavua that I will not eat. So the Gemara says, Vika Amar, lo achilna v'lo achilna, because in the case of the Brice, they're pressuring him to eat. He keeps saying, I don't want to eat, I don't want to eat. Dechi kamishtaba, when he finally swears, when he takes an oath, Hachi Kamar, Shavua sha'lo ochal. Ultimately, again, he says, if we interpret his Shavua to mean a Shavua that I will not eat. So we'll say the idea over here is, the Gemara is suggesting, is that we're going to interpret his Shavuot through the context. Therefore, if the context is that they're pressuring him to eat, and he keeps saying, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat, and he says, Shavuot Sha'ochel, then he says that Lashon Shavuot Sha'ochel, we interpret that Shavuot to mean a Shavuot that I will not eat. Shavuot that I will not eat. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, Tani Shavuot She'i Ochel Lecha. So Rav Ashi says, that the Braisa's case, Rabbi Osai, is where he says, Shavua she'i ochalacha. Not Shavua she'ochalacha, but Shavua she'i ochalacha. Shavua that I will not eat literally for you. In other words, I won't eat. So if that's the case, Yahachi Maila Memra. So we'll say, if a person says, Shavua she'i ochalacha, yochalacha means I won't eat. So if that's the case, what's the Chiddush in saying that it's a Shavua that he won't eat? So the Gemara says, Maila Memra, Ma'u de Tema, Lishna de Iskilalei. I might have thought that perhaps he stumbled over his words. He didn't mean to say Shavua she'i ochalacha, but rather he just meant to say Shavua she'ochalacha. Kamash mula, know that when he says Shavua she'i ochalacha, we interpret that to mean, that's what? That Allah HaLamayis, that is a Shavua nati. So we'll say, what emerges from here is two very important yisodos. Number one, we have the interesting idea, which is an ongoing principle, which is that the meaning of my Shavua, and this is going to be a dominant theme in the pages ahead, the meaning of my Shavua, there is the spoken Shavua, and there is the understood Shavua through the prism of my circumstances. So to begin to see over here is the possibility that a person could say something that appears to mean A, but as a result of the context in which it was stated, can be interpreted to mean B. So we could even have, which is an incredible idea on how to use that, when to use that. This happens in marriage all of the time. Right? But we'll discuss exactly the halachic parameters of this idea. So you could have even a shvua sha'ochal, a shvua that I will eat, which can be technically, depending on the circumstances, be interpreted as a shvua that I will not eat. So again, to be continued. Ten Ravanan. Mifta shvua. So we'll say, now we're going to get into some of the mechanics regarding oaths. So mifta, now if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says over here, Hachi kamar mifta shvua, ha'omer mifta kikar zu alai. Kamar shvua shalo ochlenu, ve'im ochlu hareze ba'ola v'yorit. So we'll say, listen to this. If a person says, literally, this lashon, mifta kikazu, they're saying that word, mifta. Mifta kikarzu alai, mifta this loaf on me. So ultimately, again, that is the equivalent of saying, I hereby take an oath, shvua, that I will not go ahead and eat this loaf. So we see mifta is a lashon of shvua, is a lashon of an oath. Isser, shvua. Similarly, again, if a person says, isser, Isser this item upon me, right? Ultimately, again, that is a shvua as well. Thank you. So the Gemara says, Isser, Isser. What's the nature of the prohibition if one uses lashon of Isser? So the Gemara says, Im atzo omer Isser shvua chayiv ve'im lav potter. If you hold that Isser is a shvua, then in other words, we're talking about now the idea a person uses that word Isser. If you hold that the word Isser means a shvua, then if you use that word, you make a shvua, and if you violate those words, you are in violation of a shvua. Vim lav potter. Im am ata omer Isser shvua. What do you mean if you say that an Isser is a shvua? Ha amrit Isser shvuahu. You just said before that the word Isser, in fact, is shvua. Bosse, understand what we're trying to do over here. Obviously, if a person says, I swear, and then they fill in the blank, that's an oath. What we're trying to now focus on is that there are other expressions that also mean an oath, even though they don't use the word shvua. So, for example, number one is mifta. A person says, mifta kikar zu alai, mifta this loaf upon me, that's lashon of shvua. That's an oath. We'll discuss where we get that from. Now the Gemara is dealing with Isser. Sounds like over here what we're saying is that if a person says Isser kikar zu alai, that ultimately, again, that's also an expression of a shvua. However, again, the Gemara seems to kind of go back and forth on that a little bit. So the Gemara says, okay, Amar Abaye, hachi kamar, this is what it means to say. Mifta shvua. If a person uses the expression of mifta, mifta is an expression of an oath. Isser mitfas b'shvua. Both is actually quite interesting. An Isser means something that latches onto something which is already prohibited. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Isser mitvis b'shvua, Rashi says. Isser alai kikar zu. If a person says, Isser upon me, this loaf, harehu kimisha nishpa alai kikar, v'chazar v'amar al kikar acher, hareze kazeh, shehitvis es hashini berishon. So we'll listen to this. The lashon of Isser seems to be a lashon which takes the prohibited status of item A, an already prohibited item, and extends it to item B. So if a person says, ultimately again, Isser alai kikar zu, this loaf is usser to me, this loaf is Isser to me, that's the equivalent of saying, this loaf, i.e. loaf B, should be prohibited just as loaf A is prohibited upon. In other words, we'll both say, for our purposes, what that means is, Isser ultimately means, Isser means a prohibition which takes an already, let me say it differently. Isser means I take something which is already prohibited, and I now say this non-prohibited item should be like the first prohibited item. So essentially, we're going to see from a halachic mechanics perspective, I'm not creating a new category of prohibition. I'm just simply extending a prohibited status that exists in one area and causing it to devolve upon something else. Okay, so the Gemara says the following, Isser, Isser, but what's the nature of that prohibition? Im ata omer mitfis b'shvua, kimotzi shvua mipiv dami chayiv. So if you hold, that if one goes ahead and, if you hold, that one could link an item to an already established, to an already prohibited item through a shvua, then ultimately, again, that second item has the status of something prohibited through an oath. V'imlav, but if you hold that this is not possible, pater, then ultimately, again, a person will be pater. So we'll say, well, we now come out with this as follows. it appears that we have a regular case of Shavua, where a person swears, I take an oath. And we're going to see about say that the difference between an oath and a neder in a little bit. But a person says, Shavua ki garzu alai, right? I take a Shavua that this loaf should be prohibited upon me. That's a Shavua. We've now been introduced now to a Miftah. Miftah means the same thing as Shavua, as we're going to explain in just a moment. Miftah ki garzu alai means, I swear that this loaf should be prohibited upon me. What's Isser? Isser ki garzu alai means that this loaf should be prohibited upon me the same way that what? That other loaf or that other item. So what I do is I prohibit this loaf by essentially mimicking the prohibited status of something else and causing that other item's prohibited status to devolve upon this item. Again, the mechanics of that we will have to discuss. Now the Gemara goes back and has an etymological discussion. Umimai, the Miftah Shavua. How do you know that Miftah means Shavua? Meaning, where do you know that from? Dechsiv, because the Pasuk says, O Nefesh, kis hishava levate bisfasayim. Because the Pasuk says, if a person, kis hishava will swear, levate bisfasayim. Now we'll say, now the word levate bisfasayim literally means will articulate with his lips. The Gemara is doing a little bit of a play on words over here. Understands what word do you see in here? Miftah. Miftah, if a person will go ahead and swear with a miftah. So there's a lashon of shvua and a lashon of miftah. Isser nami dechsev kol neder v'chol shvuas isser. But one second, if that's the case, then you can say that isser is also a lashon of shvua. After all, again, the pasuk says, kol neder v'chol shvuas isser. So you see that isser is also used in the context of shvua. Ella mimai di isser mitvis b'shvuahu. Rather, says the Gemara, so how do we know that an isser? We will say is something that latch. How do we know the lashon of isser means to latch onto something which is already prohibited and to mimic that state in the non-prohibited item? To which the Gemara says, dechsev. Oh, so the pasuk over here. Oh, asra isar al nafsha. So if you look at Rashi says over here, it's almost right across. Oh, asra isar b'nafsha b'shvua, mashma sha'asarto b'tafasto b'davar sh'nishpal of kvar. If we're making a literal interpretation of the pasuk, you can ultimately understand it to mean that a person is prohibiting a person is linking the current item to that which was already prohibited. Miftah nami haksiv lo chalasha yivata ad mishvua. But one second, by miftah it also says anything that a person will yiftah bishvua, which I will say also sounds like that what? That miftah is also linking it to something that was already prohibited before. Ela amra Abai, therefore Abai says the following. Miftah shvua mehacha. I will say the idea that miftah, the word miftah itself, is a lashon of shvuah. That if a person says miftah ki garzu alai, that is the equivalent of saying I swear that this oath should be prohibited upon me. Where do we learn that miftah means shvuah? We learn from here. Vim hayosi yelish unid areha aleha o miftasef asa asher asra al nafsha veilu shvuah lo kamar. Now, both say interestingly enough, in this particular context, so the Torah is speaking about the idea. If she's married, so the Torah speaks out the idea that a husband has the ability to annul his wife's vows. Now, amazingly enough, Torah speaks about nidarim. Or literally, again, the miftas vasa that she is prohibited upon herself. But the Torah doesn't make any mention of shivua. But my asra atzma, they will say, as we're going to see in just a moment on Amud Beis, the fundamental distinction between a neder and a shvua, they will say, is ultimately again that a neder we're going to see is an isra gavra versus a shvua, which is an isra chavtza. Actually, just the opposite. We'll see in just a moment. The idea over here is that the pasuk makes no reference ultimately to a shvua, makes no reference to a shvua, but instead uses the lashon ultimately again of miftah. B'may asra atzma, what did she prohibit herself with? b'mifta. So we'll say in this context where the Pasek is talking about Nidarim and Shavuos, yet the Torah doesn't use the word Shavua, it only uses the word Mifta, and therefore you see from here that what? That Mifta ultimately means Shavua. Take a look at Rashi just a moment. O Mifta Svasa Sharasra, Veloksib Shavua b'ma'asras nafsha b'loshon Mifta. Fine. So we'll say, so therefore again, this is all Abaye. This is all Abaye. So Abaye understands the following. Abaye understands that number one, Mifta means Shavua. Mifta, the word Mifta is the equivalent, ultimately, again, of making a Shavua. That's number one. Number two, Abai understands over here, Isser is what we call to be, is a concept of Hatfasa. The idea of taking something which is permitted and attaching it to something which is prohibited, thereby mimicking the prohibited state of the prohibited item in the once permitted item. That's Abaye, right? So again, in other words, I overcomplicated that. This loaf, right? Loaf A is prohibited, loaf B is permitted. I say, Isser Kikar Zu Alai, that's the equivalent of saying loaf B should have the status of loaf A. I'm not creating a new state instead of mimicking an already existing state. That's Abaye. Rava Amar, the Olam E Malacha, Rava will say to you the following. Mitvis Bishvua, Lav kimoti shua mi pev dami. So Rava says, in reality, when you go ahead and you do what's called a hatfasa, when you go ahead and you attach a permitted item to a prohibited item, thereby trying to mimic the prohibited state in the once permitted item, that is not the equivalent of articulating a shvua. That's not a shvua. We'll see what it is. Lav kimoti shua mi pev dami. Vachi kama. This is what it means to say. Mifta shvua. So we'll say, if a person uses, so Rava agrees, the lashon of mifta is a lashon of shvua. Isser nami shvua. Isser is also a shvua. What's that? Lashon of Isser is also shvua. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Isser nami shvua. Asre di Isser. But I will say, the power of an Isser, meaning the strength of the lashon of Isser, hitilu hakasav beineder l'shvua. The Torah kind of placed it in between a neder and a shvua. And we're going to define, by the way, we often use those terms interchangeably, a neder, which is a vow, versus a shvua, which is an oath. We're going to define them on a base. So what does it mean? Hotzia b'lasho neder, neder. If a person articulated the iser in terms of a lashon of neder, then ultimately it's a neder. B'lasho shvua, shvua. Person articulated it as a shvua, then it's going to be a shvua. Heichan etilu. So I'll say, ultimately, again, where do we see this? Because the pasuk says, "Ve'en beis isha nadara o asra isar al nafsha b'shvua." Because we'll say ultimately again, the pasuk says, "In beis isha nadara o isar or asra isar al nafsha b'shvua." So what do you see over here? The word isar is what? In between which two words, Rabbi Osai? Neder and shvua. So what we're going to see, and again, we're going to further qualify all of these concepts, that the concept of Isser could sometimes become a Shvua, and could sometimes become a Neder, thank you, depending on how it's articulated. And both Abai and Rava go according to their respective reasonings. How so? The Itmar, because we learned, Mitfas b'shvua. So we'll say, what happens if somebody links something in a Shvua? So I say, this kikar, right, this loaf should be like that loaf, right? Loaf A is prohibited, right? I made a shvua not to eat loaf A. And then I say, loaf B should be like loaf A. That's called mitvis b'shvua. So what's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? So Abai amar kimotzi shvua mipiv dami. Abai says, hatfasa. Rabbi Osai, when you say B should be like A, that's the equivalent of what? Articulating another oath by B, that B should be aser. Mitzvah b'shua kimotzi shua mipiv dami. Rava Amar Rava says no. Lav kimotzi shua mipiv dami. Rava says no. We'll say in order to go ahead and create an iser of shvua, what do you have to do? What do you have to do? You have to articulate. You have to articulate a full fledged shvua by saying B should be like A. That's not enough. Rava Lav kimotzi shua mipiv dami. May say the Gemara is a kasha. Ezu isra Amar Batorah. We'll say what is the iser? In other words, what is the concept of iser as raised in the Torah? Haomer. Hare alai shelo ocha basar shelo eshta yayin. A person says, I will not eat meat and I will not drink wine. Kiyom shemes po aviv, kiyom shem, right? Like on the day that my father died, Rashi says, kiyom shemes po aviv, kasher asarti alai basar biyom shemes po abali olam. Talking about a situation where a person went ahead and made a neder that he's never going to go ahead and eat meat on the day that his father died. So again, we'll say, first of all, this concept is brought down in Halacha about not eating meat or drinking wine on the day that one observes a yahrzeit for a parent. Again, not a Halacha, it's brought down as a minhag. So, and not even a fully accepted minhag, but some have the minhag. So a person says, I hereby undertake, so we'll say, what's happening? Let's say his father died on Rosh Chodesh Teves. So what happens? The guy then says on the 5th of Teves, that this day, the 5th of Teves, should be like the day that my father died. Should be like the day that my father died. So we'll say, so what is he doing? He's taking the prohibited status, his personal neder, of the yahrzeit of his father. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to replicate it on the 5th of Teves. So in other words, had he said, I hereby take an oath not to eat meat, to drink wine today. Okay, there's no Shiloh. What is he doing in this case? Instead of articulating an oath like that, he's trying to replicate an already prohibited state. He already prohibited himself from eating meat, to drink wine on the yahrzeit of his father. Now he's saying, let the 5th of Teves be like Rosh Chodesh Teves. So the Gemara says, Kiyom Shemes Paploni, or whatever, if it wasn't his father, but he decided to take an eder not to eat meat or drink wine on the yahrzeit of a particular person. And then he tries again on a different day to say, this day should be like that day. Kiyom Shenerak Bo Gedalia Ben Achikom. Rabbo said, this is Tzom Gedalia. Kiyom Shera Yushalayim Bechorbeno. Or Nebuch, a person went ahead and saw Yerushalayim in its destroyed state. And on that day, they decided not to eat meat and drink wine. And then once again, he tries to replicate that state by going ahead and what? By replicating it. So we'll say, understand what's happening in these cases. In these cases, I have days that have already been established as days that are prohibited through the power of an oath not to eat meat or drink wine. So we'll call him Reuven. Reuven went ahead and already decided on his father's yard side he doesn't eat meat and drink wine. On the day that he saw Yerushalayim in a state of destruction, not to eat meat and drink wine. And then on a different day, he essentially says what? He says what? This day, meaning the second day, should be like the day my father died. Should be like the day I saw Yerushalayim. So both say, he's not articulating a full-fledged shvu. Instead, what he's doing is something called hatfasa. He's linking the present day to a day where he already observes an oath, a shvuah prohibition. So the shaila is, does that work? So remember, this is machlokas Abaye and Rava. Abaye says it works. Rava says it doesn't work. So now the Brice is saying over here, Va'amar Shmuel, and Shmuel said, V'hu shenavter ubame osayom, and Shmuel said, as long as the original day, which we'll call it the source day, is a day that has an ongoing prohibition. In other words, you committed yourself to not eating meat and drinking wine on your father's yard site, the Olam Vaid. On the anniversary, when you saw Yerushalayim in the state of destruction, the Olam Vaid. On some Gidal, the Olam Vaid. Then, Ayinach Inami, the Hatfasa, the linkage between the present day and that past day, in fact, works. Rashi says over here, V'hu shenadar ubame ozayom, Rashi says, Shekiba alav kvar neder shelo yocha basra v'yom shemes po aviv v'yolam. V'chen yom shemes po ploni, v'chen yom shenera bo gedaya, v'kasaka daito hashta dahainu matfis p'neder, v'katani ezu isra omer batora, shubal belo yachal dvaro, homer harele alma hamatfis p'neder, harehu belobal yachal kenedir. So we'll say, what do you see over here? You see over here, ultimately, again, now it happens, Rashi points, it happens to be, these are cases of nedarim, not cases of shavuos, but for our purposes, it doesn't really matter. The point you're making is what, Rabosai? That the concept of hatfasa works. That the concept, ultimately, again, of linking the present permitted day to a previously prohibited day allows the previous prohibition to devolve upon the present item. So again, if I'm standing on the 5th, Reuven standing on the 5th of Teves, and the father's yard site is on the 1st of Teves, and he says, today should be like my father's yard site, then what does the Braisa say? He's prohibited in meat and wine. He's prohibited in meat and wine. So we'll say, you see from here, the concept of hatfasa, right? La hatfis literally means to link two things together. So in this case, instead of articulating a full-fledged shvua, now for the second day, I'm linking it to an already prohibited day, but you see that it works. So we'll say, this is the kasha that Abaye is asking on Rava. So according to Abaye, this is wonderful, because the same way that you could be matfis, the same way that you could link one neder to another neder, you could link one shvua to another shvua. So Amar Beis Rava will say, Elo l'Rava kasha, but according to Rava, this is going to represent Rashi. Also, seeming according to Rava, Rava is one who said that Hatfasa doesn't work. That if you want to articulate a shur, then Rava said, What do you need to do? You need to explicitly articulate it. El Rava Kasha, Amr Lacha Rava, Rava will say the following. Taritz ve'ima hachi. Here's the way you have to interpret, Rava will say, this braisa. How do you have to interpret? Ezehu na'iser neder ha'amor batorah. So we'll say the Braisa, according to Rava, is teaching the following idea. What is the nature of the Isser of Neder, which is stated in the Torah? And I will say, now we're going to get a little bit into the mechanics of Nedarim, which is where it gets very exciting. Ezehu Isser Neder Amar Batorah. Listen to this. Hare alai shalo ochal basar v'shalo eshte yayin ki yom shemis po aviv ki yom shenerag bo ploni. So we'll say, Rava says like this, the Braisa is coming to teach me, what is a Neder? A neder, Rabbi says, where a person says, the following item should become prohibited upon me. So Rabbi says, so what does this mean? What does this mean? What Rabbi is pointing out, Rabbi says, that the Braisa is coming to teach me, that ultimately neder is what we call an iser gavra. Iser gavra, Rabbi says, means that when I make a neder and I say that meat and wine should become, I make a neder, not to eat meat and drink wine. What I'm saying is, the meat and wine are totally fine. The issue is with me. I have a prohibited status upon myself. So the Gemara says, we'll see, as opposed to Shvuah, which is an Isser Heftza. The prohibition devolves upon the object, not upon the individual. V'amr Shvuah, so we'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Tap Rashi on the page, Chaf Amad Beis, Taritz Ve'ima, Kolomar, Haytana Lab B'matvis Neder Ayri. The Tana is actually not talking about Hatfasa at all. Ella, Be'ikar Neder Ayri. Rather, we're talking about the primary neder. V'ashmo inon sheinu chayiv b'neder ele imkin pirshuhu v'achar kach t'lo'u b'davra ha'nidr alav kivar k'di yalif leiva azal mikra v'achi kamar. So we'll say, according to Rava, the novelty in this neder is as follows. That it appears, and we're going to qualify this a little bit, that Rava is saying that the only way to make something asr upon yourself is to link it to something which is already prohibited. Rashi says, "Vachi kamar." I'm in the third line of Rashi. Rabbi say, "Vachi kamar." Ezu iser neder, aval matvis b'neder lav nederhu. So the Gemara says, "Vachi veichi dami mitvis kigon shelo pirish harei alai shelo ochal basar v'shelo eshrei ela amar harei alai yom zeh kiyom shemeis po aviv kiyom sheraz yushaim b'chorbana." So we'll say, listen to this. V'amr Shmuel, back to the Gemara. V'hu shenader ubame oseim. So we'll say, this is actually quite interesting. So Rava seems to be saying. Rava seems to be saying that the Braisa is actually teaching me about the mechanics of neder. And the mechanics of neder are such that the only way to prohibit something upon myself is how Rava saying, to link it to something which was already prohibited. My timer. So Rava say, so why is that? Meaning, I don't understand. Does that mean I can't make like a brand new neder? It always has to be linked to something that was prohibited beforehand. My timer, why would you say that my neder has to be hinged on something that was already prohibited? Amakra, ish ki yidor neder lahashem. Because the verbiage over here is quite interesting. If a person, ish ki yidor, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Ish ki yidor neder lahashem. If a person, ki yidor, will vow a vow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do we say, now that is a double lashon. Right? You could have just said, ish ki yidor lahashem. Why yidor neder? So the Gemara understands that to mean, ad she yidor, Bidavar hanador. I will say what that means is, at least according to Rava right now, what that means is that you can only create a neder prohibition of what Rava say? If what? You link it to something which is already prohibited. So I will say this is actually very dramatic, because Rava seems to be saying over here that Lamaise, see, here's what's fascinating. Abaye was just saying, then halacha lemaisa, the concept of hatfasa applies. In other words, if instead of fully articulating a full blown shvua or a full blown neder, you just want to say what? This should be like that. That's called hatfasa. In other words, this is permitted. That is prohibited. When you say this should be like that, you want the permitted item to become prohibited. It works. Rava takes this a dramatic step forward, and Rava says that the mechanics of neder are such that an item only becomes prohibited through a neder when Rabbi Osai, only if you are matfis it, only if you connect it, only if you link it to something which is already prohibited. So I want to go ahead and I want to say I'm not going to eat meat and drink wine. That's fine. You can make a neder, but in order for that neder to work, you have to link it to something, to a day that is already prohibited in meat and wine. So the Gemara says, "Kiyom shemespo aviv pshita." So we'll say that's, now we're going to go through the cases. So now when we understand that he's linking it to the case, like the day when his father died, that's obvious. Rashi says, "Pshita." Kaven the time of Mishum Dinadar Uba who I love Misas Aviv Mali Kanama Chimishumesbo of Migragara. So what's the seminars? What's the chiddush over here? If a person goes in and says that today should be like the day my father died, and assuming that he already went ahead and prohibited himself from meat and wine like the day that his father died, so wouldn't it be obvious that what? That Lamaisa again, this day should be Asra as well. To which the Gemara says, "Kiyom shenerak bo gidai ben achikam itzrichlei." No, the truth is, we need ultimately again about say for the tzom gidai day. Why? Sagadai tchamina, because I might have thought, "Kevan dechi no nader nami aser," because the Bosei, you know, tzom gidalia is aser even if you didn't take a nader, right? So Bosei, tzom gidalia is an already established iser, meaning it's a rabbinic fast day. So therefore, Bosei, I might have thought like this: tzom gidalia is not prohibited through a nader. Ki nadar nami lo havia ale iser v'hai lav mitvis benederhu. It will say the novelty of the brisa is not when I try to link it to the day that my father died. The novelty of the brisa, will say, is what? Is when I try to link it to Tzom Gedalia. Why? Because when a person links it to the day that his father died, that's obvious that it should work, because again, the day that his father died is a day that is prohibited ultimately through what? Through the koach of a nether. I'm linking one nether to another nether. Tzom Gedalia, however, Rabosa, is what? Is a day that is not prohibited because of a nether, but rather, again, it's a day that's prohibited ultimately, again, because an already established rabbinic prohibition. I might have thought, therefore, since the Isser of the day is not through nether and Tzom Gedalia, but rather it's through an established rabbinic prohibition, that perhaps, again, hatfasa by a nether should not work. In other words, Tzom Gedalia should not be able to generate a prohibition to a secondary nether day, since its original prohibition is not through a nether as well. Kamashmula, no. Kamashmula Rabbeinu said that hatfasa by nedarim seems to work even if the source item is not prohibited through a nether. Va'af Rabbi Yochanan sarala lahadi Rava. And even Rabbi Yochanan agrees with this statement of Rava. How so? Baruch atu Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shehakol yehi bidvaro.
Amen.
Dichi asa Ravin. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Because let's listen to this. When Ravin came, he said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Mifta lo ochalacha. Person says mifta lo ochalacha. They use the lashon of mifta. Mifta, I will not eat. Isser lo ochalacha shvua. So also listen to this. Now this is actually quite dramatic. Whether a person went ahead and said mifta lo ochalacha or shvua lo ochalacha, either of these lashonos ultimately creates what? Ultimately creates a prohibition of shvua. Kiyasa Abdimi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Ochal. So we'll say, okay, so now we stop here for just a moment. Now we're going to transition for a little bit and then loop back. But understand where we're holding. Here's the good news. What is it? Let's start with what everybody agrees with. What does everybody agree with? Everyone agrees that if you go ahead and you use the lotion of mifta, what does mifta mean? What does mifta mean? Shvua. That everybody seems to agree with. And mifta means a shvua. I say mifta ki garzu alai. That's the equivalent of taking an oath to go ahead and not eat something. What's the machlokas abayin rava? The machlokas abayin rava is what's the status of isser, right? So we have a couple of possibilities. Isser could be shvua. Isser could be either shvua or neder, depending on what? Depending on the context in which it is stated. Or isser could be what's called hatfasa, where I'm trying to go ahead and link one shvua to another shvua. I'm trying to link one item to another already prohibited item, thereby trying to replicate the prohibited state on the formerly permitted item. But then that gets into a general discussion of, does hatfasa work? Can you go ahead and simply say, this should be like this? And does that replicate the prohibited state in the present item or not? That seems to be a machlokas, Abaye and Rava as well. Rava introduces us to the dramatic idea that by nedarim, in order ultimately, again, for a neder to be effective, a neder must replicate something which is already prohibited. In other words, a neder must link to something that is already prohibited through either, it doesn't have to be a neder state, but an already established state of prohibition. We'll say, I know there's a lot of information, but we're going to iron all of this out. But this is all the stuff that the Gemara is putting on the table now, and then in Meretz Hashem, we'll organize it and structure it into frameworks. One more piece of, important piece of information. Kios Rav Dimi Am Rabbi Yochanan. Ochal v'lo ochal sheker. We'll say if a person says, makes a shavua, but if you look at Rashi, it's actually right across. Ochal v'lo ochal kolomar shavua lahabo kari shavua sheker. We'll say if a person takes a shavua and he swears, I swear I will eat this item, or I swear I won't eat this item, and he violates the shavua, if he violates the shavua, that's called a false oath. That is called a shavuas sheker. Okay, we're just establishing our terms. So the Gemara says, shavua sheker. Va'as harose mehacha. And we'll say, where do we see the lav for taking a false oath? So the Gemara says, for a shavua sheker, because the pasuk says, lo sishavu b'shvila sheker. Fine. So a person takes an oath, I will eat something, I won't eat something, and then they violate that oath, they are in violation of taking a false oath. Achalti v'lo achalti. We'll say, if a person says, I swear, I did eat the item, this is past tense, or I didn't eat the item, and Rabbi say, it turns out that's what? They lied. They lied, whatever the circle, they lied. That's called a shvuas shav. Rabbi say, interestingly enough, we often translate sheker and shav in the same way, but as we're going through, they're dramatically different concepts. Sheker means false. Shav means what? In vain. What's the chilik between false and vain? See, Rabbi say, If I swear I eat a loaf of bread, at the time, and meanwhile, I didn't eat it. So at the time I made the shavua, then what? By definition, the shavua is already, meaning in vain, shav means the shavua was meaningless from the moment I articulated it. Because again, I'm lying. At the end of the day, the shavua itself is in vain because the shavua itself has absolutely no meaning. See, a shavua shav is a shavua that has absolutely no meaning from the time it was articulated, as opposed to a shavua sheker. And we'll say, if I say, I swear I will eat the loaf, at the moment I articulated it, what's the status of the oath? We'll see. I didn't do anything yet. I didn't. Now, it turns out that when I don't eat the loaf, then what? Then it turns out that I lied. But you can't call that, that's the chilek. Shav means, at the time I said it, it was already meaningless. And again, that works on past tense shavuos. So I swear I ate the loaf. Meanwhile, I didn't eat the loaf. So at the time I articulated it, it's already in vain. As opposed to, I swear I will eat the loaf, and I don't end up eating the loaf. That becomes a shavuos sheker. That becomes a false oath, not an oath in vain. So the Gemara goes weiter. Where do I know this from? Because the pasuk says, do not take a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name in vain. Konamos. I will say, what about Konamos? Now we're going to see Konamos are nedarim. Over bebal yachel devaro. So we'll say, if a person goes in and violates a neder, he is in violation of bal yachel devaro. He is in violation, ultimately, again, of not profaning his words. So the Gemara says, Meisvei shav v'sheker echad hein. So yet the Braisa says that a shavua shav and a shavua sheker are one and the same. My lav mi deshav l'sha'avar af sheker nami l'sha'avar. So doesn't that mean to say that just as an oath in vain is a past tense oath, achalti shalo achalti, then so too a shavua sheker must also be a past tense oath. Alma achalti v'lo achalti shekeru. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi, when a person says, takes an oath, I did eat or I didn't eat, past tense, that is not only a Shavua Shabbat, that is also a Shavua Sheker. To which the Gemara says, no. Mi di irya, ha-kadi isa va-ha-kadi isa. No, rather, each one is reckoned on its own. Shavua Shav is separate from Shavua Sheker. Shavua Sheker is separate from Shavua Shav. Umay davar echad hein. So what does it mean when it says that they are one thing? Dibedibor echad ne'emru. It ultimately means that they were said in one statement. The Rosh Hashanah is actually amazing. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them to us, they were given over in one divine recitation. Uchidisanya, we'll see what all of this means in just a moment. Uchidisanya, Zachar v'shamar b'dibor echad ne'emru. So we'll say, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, remember again, in the two times that the Aseres HaDibros are given over, they're said over in different ways. One time he says, Zachar Shom HaShabbos HaKadosho. One time he says, Shamar Shom HaShabbos HaKadosho. So we'll say, Zachar refers to the positive commandments of Shabbos. Shamar refers to the prohibitions of Shabbos. So Chazal tell us that Shamar and Zachar b'dibor echad ne'emru, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said them simultaneously. Masha'in yachal ha'peh ledaber, no human mouth could say two things simultaneously. U'masha'in ha'ozen yachal l'shmoa, and one ear can't hear two things simultaneously. So bishlama hasam b'dibor echad ne'emru. So we'll say, just like, apparently, Zachar and Shamar was said simultaneously, so too again what? So too Shvua Sheker and Shvua Shav were said simultaneously as well. So the Gemara says, I understand that ultimately what Zachar and Shamar was said simultaneously, Kidrav Adabarava, Da'amrav Adabarava, Noshim Chayavos B'Kiddush Hayom, Dvar Torah. So we'll say, because the fact that Zachar and Shamar were said together in one divine utterance is important for us. Why? Because it teaches us an important halacha. Women are chayavos in Kiddush, which in other words, we'll say that women are chayavos, women are obligated in all of the positive mitzvos of Shabbos. Where do I know that from? Du'amar kra, Zachar v'Shamar. Because we'll say, since there's simultaneity in divine speech, since ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Zachar v'Shamar together, what does that teach me? Kol sheyeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'schira. Whoever is obligated in the prohibitions of Shabbos is obligated in the positive commandments of Shabbos. V'hani noshi hov yesno b'shmira, yesno b'nayim b'schira. And since women are obligated, I will say, in the prohibitions of Shabbos, they're also obligated in the positive commandments of Shabbos. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Zachar v'Shamar b'dibar echad. Elohocha! But I will say, what is there to be gained by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke about Shavuas Sheker and Shavuas Shav in one utterance? And I will say, Mirat Hashem, we'll see the answer to that. B'shatovu u'metzlachas tomorrow. Yeah, I will say, just there is a Shiva home. There is a Shiva home on 73rd.